News Talk 970 WMAY with Bishop on Air, joined in studio by Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman. Alderman, thank you for taking time. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Greg, on December 7th.
It's 74 years since Pearl Harbor, is that right?
It's a long time, and that was a massive act of terrorism.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no kidding. And propelled the United States into World War II. It's incredible. All right, well, 7:08 this morning, and as I said, we're going to have Alderman McMiniman in studio for a good chunk of time. And one thing I want to do is encourage people to think about some of the issues we're going to be talking about here and formulate some questions so that they can ask you, an alderman who's been there. Now this is your second term, almost a year into your second term as alderman. And one of the things that you've been very outspoken and critical about is the city's pension funds. And a lot of times when I was covering the city council, Alderman, whenever you talked about it, I would see people rolling their eyes saying, oh, my gosh, oh, he's talking about it again. Why is this such an important issue?
A good question and appropriate. I ran for office having identified our pension problem as one of the major issues that we needed to face as a city and on the city council. And our situation with the city is very similar to what's happened with the state, and we don't want our city situation to get worse. But it is getting worse, and there is something newsworthy to talk about right off the bat, Greg, and that is that our Mayor Langfelder, he's called a summit to discuss the pension problem that the city has, and the pension summit will be a week from today at 4:30 in the city council chambers. And this is a very important step that our mayor is focusing on the pension problem. The pension problem is really a debt problem. It's a problem of living beyond our means. It's a problem of spending more money than we have to spend or should spend. It's a problem of creating a future for the next generation, which is laden with debt, which means more taxes and fewer services being delivered by city government, very similar to what we're seeing at the state level and in some respects for a while there at the federal level. So Mayor Langfelder has called for a summit, and I haven't seen the agenda yet. Mayor Langfelder was reaching out to aldermen on various issues last Friday as he drove up to Chicago for the Illinois Municipal League Conference, which he's a part of. He's a member of that board. And he, when he called from his vehicle, he did mention some of the invitations that have gone out for the pension summit, which will be, like I say, a week from today. He's invited, as I understand it, he'll invite the members of the police and fire pension boards. He will invite someone from IMRF, that's Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. He'll invite Sandor Goldstein, who is our actuary. He's out of Chicago. He's been the actuary for the city pensions for many, many years. He will invite an official from the Illinois Municipal League itself. I think some of those are the basic, and from the unions. And so that's a good start. I have no idea how he's going to structure this meeting, but basically it's a problem of living beyond our means. How do we bring revenue and spending into balance? And we need to make progress.
We're talking with Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman this morning with News Talk 970 WMAY about pensions and a summit a week from today where Mayor Jim Langfelder has called various representatives from pension funds and unions to hash out how we can best address the problem. So, again, we're spending beyond our means here when it comes to the pensions, and that's going to divert away from resources that the city uses for other services, other vital services, be it headcount at the fire department, be it headcount at the police department, CWLP, or be it sewers or anything along those lines. So people have to really think about how they want to address this while still securing their services for the city of Springfield. But give us, I guess, quantify if you can how big the problem is and how big the problem's become just in the past couple of years.
Okay, that's the problem is incremental, and it's been really growing in dimension since at least 1999. And I go back to 1999 because back then, Greg, our police and fire pension funds were essentially fully funded, you know, 90% fully funded.
Which is very, very healthy.
Very healthy. That means we are paying into them what we needed to pay out what we will need to retirees down the road. Today, those pension funds are roughly 50% fully funded. So you can see a very serious erosion.
Just in 15, 16 years.
In 15 to 16 years. Now, another fact, and we mentioned this on your show a month ago, police and fire pension funds, they cover the roughly 500 current employees and roughly 1,000 retirees from our police and fire. Then all the other city employees are covered by a different pension fund, which is kind of a statewide pension fund for all the municipalities and county governments and other local governments. And there, Greg, the situation is... 10 years ago, we were fully funded on IMRF. We actually had a credit. We were overpaid into the system. And today, we're $100 million behind in debt.
For the city of Springfield?
For the city of Springfield.
Wow.
In 10 years. That's at the rate of $10 million a year. It's just staggering. And this issue has not drawn enough attention. I don't think, besides your show, I haven't heard it really much talked about. And as an alderman, I didn't even know we were in debt for the first couple of years on the council with IMRF. But the current underfunding with IMRF is the highest in the city's history, and the underfunded percentage is the highest in the city's history. So that's another portion of the context. But another major portion of the context, Greg, is that in 2008, that was back when Mayor Devlin was in the seat, and I wasn't following city government closely at that point in time. That came a couple of years later when I really focused on city government and decided to run for alderman. I mean, I've always been a concerned citizen. I mean, read a paper every day and that kind of thing. But in 2008, the then city council and Mayor Devlin put together a blue ribbon committee to look at our finances. And that blue ribbon committee, which report of the committee, which is about 80 pages long. It should be required reading for anyone on the city council. But Mayor Devlin at that time said our finance, the report said, that, and Mayor Devlin initiated the committee, put it together because he knew we were in serious trouble. That at that time, the committee said our finances are unsustainable. We have a serious problem. We have to address it. So at that time, they proposed, well, let's fix our pension problem by using all the extra revenue we'll get from the new power plant, and we'll devote that money to help balance our police and fire pension funds, and we'll raise some taxes. And we did raise some taxes. Now, that was 2008.
What happened with the market for energy?
Well, that's right. The new power plant was a triple disaster because, number one, we didn't pay off any pension. Number two, we couldn't even meet our operational cost of the new power plant. Number three, we had to raise rates significantly for the ratepayers. But at any rate, that was the context in 2008. So here we are in 2005, 7 years later, and the situation has grown worse, and it was bad in 2008. And meanwhile, we've raised sales taxes twice since 2008. So back to the context, Greg, just one final comment on the context. Back in 1999, which is 16 years ago, in 1999, of the real estate taxes that we raised for city purposes, only a third of those sales of those real estate taxes were devoted to pay down the pension. Today, essentially all of the real estate taxes are used to pay pension obligations. So there you see where the traditional revenue used for operations is now entirely devoted to pensions. And in the meanwhile, since 1999, we've raised the sales tax three times. So we're taxing more, but we're falling further behind. That's the context. And we're going to talk about solutions, but that's what this committee is for a week from now, the summit.
Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman joining us, giving you a broad understanding of the pension problem here in Springfield. Would you call it a crisis?
Well, it's a long-term crisis, not an immediate crisis.
Okay. So you've got an understanding of what the problem is. Let's talk about some solutions coming up after the break.
Thanks, Greg.
Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman, my in-studio guest. And if you've got questions for the Alderman, give us a call, 629-7970. That's the listener contact line for News Talk 970 WMAY. A pension summit coming up a week from today. You need to know everything about that summit and about the pensions going into it. And we'll keep you updated with your phone calls, your questions, and Alderman Joe McMiniman coming up next with Bishop on Air. All right, welcome back with Bishop on Air, talking with Alderman Joe McMiniman, News Talk 970 WMAY. And again, if you've got questions for the Alderman, we'll take those as they come in. Listener contact line, 629-7970. But Alderman, we laid out some of the problems concerning Springfield's pension funds. It's not just police and fire. It's also IMRF. And just to, again, kind of lay out how drastic of a change it's been over the past 15 years. IMRF was nearly fully funded, if not fully funded, and then in 1999. Now it's $100 million underfunded for what the city owes. I would imagine police and fire very similar in a sharp increase of unfunded liability. These aren't the only problems, though. We also have a problem with the cost of health care for city employees. Address that briefly.
That's something worth talking about, too, Greg, because we had some recent ordinances that highlighted that we've got a benefits issue for our city employees, retirees, and their families that is becoming more and more expensive to the city and therefore to the taxpayers. We had a pharmaceutical ordinance to fund the medicinals, the drugs that are needed for our city employees and retirees. And the cost of drugs has doubled in 2 years. It was roughly $4.5 million 2 fiscal years ago, and now for the coming fiscal year, we're planning to spend $9 million. So that's a doubling. And of course, this all trickles down to actually how do you balance the budget and where do you get the monies to pay for these things. The pharmaceuticals is roughly 1/3 of our overall health bill for the city, which is paid for by taxpayers with some contribution from our employees. And what I've seen is that our in a 2 year period, the overall cost for the health cost of our city has gone up 25% in a 2 year period. So this requires a lot of attention. And what we need to do here is examine, well, is the benefit package for health care appropriate in comparison to what the private sector pays in Central Illinois and in comparison to other municipalities? Let's do some comparative analysis and make sure that our package is not overly generous compared to what others are paying in Central Illinois.
But if we have these comparative analysis and we do the month's worth of study and research and maybe fork over a couple tens of thousands of dollars to somebody to do it for us, maybe you get a report. We've heard it before. You just put a report on a shelf and not do anything with it. How do we spur actual change? Is this something that the city council and the mayor can just do, or are there other impediments there? Like, for instance, union contracts for things.
Absolutely. The leadership first must come from our mayor. He represents the entire city, and he has to balance all those interests out there between what taxpayers can afford to pay and what we need to give to our employees to attract quality applicants and to keep our morale appropriate and to provide a reasonable standard of living to our employees. And all these aspects must be kept in balance, and our mayor must make recommendations to the city council. And hopefully that's what this summit will all be about. We'll get some experts in the room and try to hammer out something. There will be the cost and the contribution must be balanced between employees and the taxpayers. It can't all come from one and not the other. And I hopefully we'll have that kind of a common sense that we all are part of this community. We all want to make our community prosperous and healthy, and we all have an obligation to contribute to the solution. And I hope that's the attitude that everyone brings to the table.
So the solutions are to encourage a healthy balance between contributions from city employees and contributions from taxpayers. We've already seen taxpayers, take a hit with sales tax increases, with rate increases, even at CWLP. So these are various instances and examples where taxpayers have been on the hook. Have we seen any recent examples of where city employees are outside of, layoffs at CWLP? Have we seen any kind of give and take there with city employees that you can think of?
Well, hopefully we'll see some leadership from the unions on this. I hope the police and fire unions in particular will recognize the financial hole that the city is in. And I hope that some kind of a grand bargain can emerge where if we raise the real estate taxes for the city portion of the real estate tax bill, that the union leadership would think, okay, in consideration of that let's consider a freeze on our wages for a couple of years, because I think that would really, when you freeze wages, that frees up money every year thereafter that would otherwise not be there to help balance the budget. And so on the question of police and fire and our other employees, I hope we think back to the time of the Great Recession, when we had 5-year contracts in Bean back then, Greg, and those contracts called for 4% raises in the salary base and in the wage base, and
every year
as I recall, 5-year contracts. So compounded, that was 22% raise to our police and fire during that 5-year period. But now, during that time period, the Great Recession happened. And actually, the cost of living declined. Social Security recipients received no increase for 2 years. Military retirees received no increase for 2 years on their pensions. And so what hopefully our police and fire will recognize will be that their standard of living continued to improve when so many others were losing their jobs, having their hours cut back, their wages frozen for many years. And so they under the contracts, those folks got ahead. And by the way, we're kind of in a similar situation right now in 2015 going into 2016, because Social Security recipients are getting a zero raise for next year. Are you aware of that?
All right.
And military retirees the same way.
Oh, wow.
But most of our contracts with our city employees show, at a minimum 1.5 or 1.75 increase, regardless of what the CPI was, Consumer Price Index. Well, those policies have got to stop. That's why, as you know, I voted no on every collective bargaining agreement the previous 4 years, because we were spending money we did not have without having addressed this pension issue. And that's wrong. It's just flat out fiscally wrong. And that's why I had problems with many of the aldermen in the last council, because I was out there voting differently than the way they voted all the time and not taking contributions from the very interest groups that we need to get into a more realistic relationship with. I'm talking about the unions.
And also, real quick here before we head over to news, but I take it you still think a wage freeze is part of the solution.
Not to jump in front of what Mayor Langfeller might propose or what he might obtain from the experts, but I think it should definitely be under consideration. It's very logical and reasonable to expect.
Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman in studio with us. Coming back, we're going to talk about another city issue. We just discussed pensions for a good chunk of time, so hopefully you better understand the issues and what the possible solutions are. But coming up next, we'll talk about the Ethics Committee and a stack of possible cases that are just kind of in queue. Well, what's going on with those? We'll get the latest with Alderman Joe McMiniman coming this way in moments. Let's talk that ethics committee here in the city of Springfield. Joining me live in studio, Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman, News Talk 970 WMAY. And keep in mind, the listener contact line, 629-7970. We'll take your phone calls about the pensions, about the ethics committee, or anything else that concerns city business. We'll get to your calls coming up right here with Alderman Joe McMiniman. Alderman, thank you for taking so much time with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Greg.
We need to do this more, and I also need to reach out to some of your fellow aldermen and drag them screaming and kicking on the airwaves as well.
Chuck Redpath would be outstanding to speak on the Inspector General, because one of his jobs for many years was to be an investigator at the Illinois Attorney General's office.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. So, Alderman Redpath, keep that in mind. I'm going to have to get you on the air here. This is, of course, a very important issue about an Inspector General and about various cases that a contracted Inspector General was able to dig up, at least through, you know, complaints received anonymously from citizens or complaints received anonymously from city employees. Has anything happened with those cases? Where are we at right now?
Yeah, it's hard to jump into this without talking about the history of the
right. Got to get that background.
That background. The city passed an ordinance to have a temporary inspector general, an outside contractor, come in to take phone calls from the public. And the idea of an inspector general within the city government of Springfield was controversial out there with the public. I don't think the public really thought we could justify the expense of it, number one. And then number two was, well, don't we already have enough checks and balances? Do we need another layer of government? We've already got a mayor, and if the mayor is covering something up or not fully addressing a problem, whether it be criminal or competence or whatever within city government, isn't that what the aldermen are there? Aren't the aldermen supposed to speak up for our representatives and identify a problem and put focus on it and spotlight it? And so I think the public wondered, well, do we really need another layer of bureaucracy? But whatever, the city council voted 9-1 to have this temporary contract with a outside firm, which came in and started taking phone calls.
Who is that one no vote?
What happened to be the guy you're talking with right now. But at any rate, we did, I think it was $80,000, and from roughly November through February 28, we had a temporary inspector general. They took phone calls from the public, and that IG opened, I believe it was 7 files, and then the contract ended February 28, and we didn't renew it. And you'd think that's pretty clear-cut policy. You know, we're done. I mean, but they continue to take that. The phone line stayed active, and they continue to take phone calls from the public. So another 8 files were created. And now the question is, what do we do with these 15 files? And we've had a change of administration in the meanwhile. A new mayor took the oath in May, and we've got a new city council. And so the purpose of the ethics panel, the way the ordinance was written, was, quote, the inspector general shall report its activities to the ethics board, or this ethics panel. But we got a whole new can of worms now, Greg, with this ethics board, because it's supposed to consist of 5 aldermen switching between even-numbered and odd-numbered aldermen and the mayor and a public body member. Well, it turns out, apparently, the wrong 5 aldermen are sitting on this board, and we don't have a public member. And so the question is, can this board actually do anything yet, because it's not properly seated and not properly composed? And so we're in a real quandary. And meanwhile, these investigation files get older and older and staler and staler. And Chuck Redpath has got lots of experience on investigations. And so do I, by the way, because I was in the Army National Guard for 30 years. And 23 of those years was as an attorney with the Illinois Army National Guard. And so I literally had more than 1,000 investigations that I handled during that 23-year period that I was a commissioned officer after being an enlisted personnel for 7 years. So I've got lots of experience on this, but one really important rule is on investigations: do not let someone hang out there forever. If someone's been targeted or accused of something, it's not fair to let someone hang out there with no disposition of the case, nor is it fair on the prosecution side to allow evidence to become stale and for witnesses to disappear, move, you know, leave, die, whatever. You do not not want evidence to get stale. You want to act quickly. You want to take appropriate action in a timely manner. You want justice promptly served and so forth. And it's not good to have stale cases out there. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And this ethics committee is kind of all up in arms, up in the air, because we don't know who should be on it, and no decisive action by anybody.
Now, over the weekend, former Alderman Gail Simpson was nominated to be the citizen on this ethics committee. That's something that has to go in front of the city council for an up or down vote.
That's right. And I suppose that nomination, from some points of view, was not too surprising from the point of view that Gail Simpson had been on Mayor Jim Langfelder's transition team. I think we need to move quickly on an up or down vote on that nomination, because until we get the public body member of the panel, I think the panel isn't properly seated. So maybe the council will consider getting this nomination on emergency passage for a vote. And it is a type of emergency, because we've got these investigation files that just keep getting older and older. So maybe that's something the council can consider. Tomorrow night is a committee of the whole, and maybe the council can discuss how quickly we should move with Gail Simpson's nomination, because if we don't put it on emergency passage a week from tomorrow night, that means we won't vote on it till December 29th. And then if it fails, now the mayor's got to nominate somebody else, and we're into another month of delay. Well, meanwhile, the files get staler. So we got to move, Greg.
7:47 now, News Talk 970 WMAY, talking with Ward 7 Alderman Joe McMiniman. Right now, 35 degrees, and it is foggy out there. So do we have any indication, and I know you can't necessarily go into specifics about these files, but do you know what these files cover? Are they, you know, criminal activities? Are they kind of, just ethics problems, or is it all the above?
I think it's probably all the above. And I'd like to know who has physical possession of these files right now. Has any of our city staff actually gone through the files? But I think it's possibility of there's some potential criminal activities. I don't know, in the misdemeanor, felony range, who knows? There's probably some serious allegations of incompetence out there. There's probably some allegations of mismanagement. There's probably some allegations of some ethical problems by individuals. I'm just speculating, because I have not seen the files. And besides just general descriptions of what we just had just now, I don't know what's there, Greg. I really don't.
You're on News Talk 970 WMAY with Alderman Joe McMiniman. Good morning.
Good morning. I had a quick question. I don't remember the exact wording, that it would also include a member of the general public, or how was that worded, other than the alderman?
It basically says, and this was the question is regarding the composition of the ethics panel. When we passed the ordinance, I think it was December, exactly a year ago, Gail Simpson, by the way, offered an amendment that said, let's put a member of the public on the panel. And so it's very general language. It just says there shall be a member of the public on the panel, one member.
Okay, and that's how I understood it. And I guess I have nothing against Gail Simpson. I'm sure she was a fine alder, anything else. But, why not put, a regular, normal citizen, somebody to speak for the blue-collar worker or whatever? And I'm not saying that she'd do a bad job. I'm just saying that as a just barely past or former alderman, it's like putting another alderman on to me. I don't know why not just put a regular old taxpayer on.
That sentiment is out there, and it is being expressed to the alderman, the existing alderman, as a reason why the mayor should, why we should vote to look for somebody else to put on the panel.
Appreciate the phone call. Yep, News Talk 970 WMAY. Alderman, can you stick around for another segment?
As long as you want, Greg.
All right, fantastic. Well, we will take more of your phone calls coming up. The listener contact line, 629-7970. We can talk pensions, we can talk ethics committee, or anything else about city business you want to get aired with Alderman Joe McMiniman. The listener contact line, 629-7970 with Bishop on Airs. And we're back with Alderman Joe McMiniman for a final segment and your phone calls. We'll take those at the listener contact line, 629-7970. We can talk pensions, we can talk ethics, all of that and more, or just in general other city business. Alderman, what else is big on the list of things that the city's facing right now?
January, February, those are all our budget months. So
no.
that's right around the corner,
no!
Greg. Yeah, we've already got our schedule. You know, we got to have five workshops, you know, where we take each one of the city departments one at a time, sometimes two or three at a night. And City Water, Light, and Power is always an important night. And I've got those dates, but they're all in January. So that's coming up. That's around the corner. And they're... the members of the public pay attention to some of that, especially if they're affected. We'll see how that all goes. As far as what else, we had a great Christmas parade, by the way.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It was, I would say, you know, it wasn't St. Pat's Day thickness on the curb, but it was thick, and it was probably double the turnout as what we had last year, and this was the third year of the evening. It was in the evening. It was dark. And it's kind of a festive atmosphere. Lots of families with children. Good entries in the parade. Everything from Elvis singing with the very lit-up mass transit bus to lots of good floats. Now, Mayor Langfelder was marching with his brother Josh, and Josh was sitting on a carriage that looked like it was pulled by about four or six Clydesdales, huge, massive workhorses. And that was fascinating to see that horse-drawn carriage go by. And lots of good entries, Greg. I'm trying to think of some others that were out there. But and, you know, there's some good elected officials or candidates out there trying to get some name recognition.
Oh, absolutely. The listener contact line, 629-7970. We've got about 4 minutes for you to get your questions in to Alderman Joe McMiniman about pensions, about the Ethics Committee, or any other city business. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning. When you were talking about pension and you said that basically in 99 you were fully funded, what actually caused it to go to unfunded? Was it more the increase? Was it more retired? Did you give a better package? Or was it actually, like you said, bad leadership decisions of trusting the power? And when you said you raised three times on the taxes, what was the total amount of raise? Because if you only raised it to where you got an extra quarter or an extra 15 cents on the dollar or whatever, with the way the prices have gone up in doing business in today's society, did you even plan on that part too? Because again, when you throw out the general numbers, it doesn't really tell me what the problem was other than, well, yeah, pensions went up. Well, why? And why was it that these other avenues of trying to get more revenue weren't exhausted? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, that was a multi-part question. And as far as the sales tax increases, it was a half a penny increase in 2005 and then a quarter of a penny increase in 2010 and then another half cent increase in 2013. And much of that money was actually dedicated to city government operations, but the reason we had to dedicate it to operations was because there was less real estate money going to operations.
Well, and I would imagine, too, with the growing cost of pensions, that also diverts resources away from other things that the city uses these tax dollars for.
Right. The pension portion of the budget keeps growing significantly. And one of the other aspects of the question was, why has the pension grown so much since 1990, the underfunding? Well, it's really a combination of many different factors, including, you know, the wage base has grown, and the wage base then affects the pension levels. Then the pension benefits were also increased over time. You know, how much you get after so many years of service, how much does your widow get, those kinds of issues. The benefits were increased. Probably the most significant factor in the underfunding was the city did not contribute an appropriate amount each year to the pension funds. And one of the reasons we get away with that is because when you calculate how much does the city need to contribute into the pension funds, you have to look at, well, what do we expect the invested funds, what their rate of return will be for the next 30 years. And the city has engaged in, I won't call it fraud, but it's a dishonest policy of setting an expected rate of return on our set-aside funds at higher rates than what they will actually earn. And that's the biggest contributor to this underfunding. And it's gone on for a good 16 years at least. Just to summarize that point, our actual...
And Alderman, we're coming up on the top of the hour here. Caller, I apologize.
Good question. Lots to that question.
Yeah, there is lots
All
to that
relevant.
Question. The next caller here, if you could just really quick, if you wanted to make a statement or a quick question, and we'll allow the Alderman to address it if possible.
I was just going to say, keep up the good fight, Alderman. I'm a state employee, and I realize that state can't keep funding the money that they don't have to give away. So I just think, hey, keep up the good fight. Somebody's going to have to draw the line, and it needs to be done sooner than later. So.
Appreciate the call. Alderman, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for taking time with us this morning, the entire hour. And for people who missed it, we'll definitely get it podcasted.
Thanks for this great opportunity, Greg. Have a great day.
You too. News Talk 970 WMAY Springfield.